another housing bubble, which is apparently about to burst, taking a lot of our economy with it. So Jenny Yellen did that by printing tons of cheap money and then getting kickbacks in the form of speaking fees from the Wall Street banks. That happened. And you can look it up and find for yourself that it happened. But here's the key. Jenny Yellen has no intention of admitting that it happened. And as a Biden White House official, she doesn't have to admit it. You know what she can do? She can blame the whole thing on you, peasant. And last night she did. Watch.
It turned out the pandemic had very special impacts on the economy. Remember, everybody stopped spending on services. They were in their homes for a year or more. They wanted to buy grills and office furniture. They were working from home. They suddenly started splurging on goods.
Oh, they splurged on grills. It had nothing to do with the fact that I ran the Fed, which controls our money supply and therefore controls our economy at the deepest level. And I printed so much money that it's not worth anything anymore. And that's why our economy is about to blow up. But that's not what did it. You bought a grill. Next time, don't do that. Dance, peasant, dance.
Oh, I love Tucker Carlson when he gets like that. Coming up on the program, believe it or not, Democrats are more likely to trust delayed election results. We are the world capital of late results. We and I guess Arizona and the People's Republic of California in a couple of different districts. I'll be honest with you. I like the idea. I think Nigel Innes and others have talked about delaying or having early voting coincide with Election Day, that the last day of early voting would end up being Election Day. But unfortunately, nobody seems interested in that, and I don't know why. But there's the new polling out. And you're going to love this, that apparently Democrats are more likely to trust delayed election results. When asked the question, how much do you trust that America's elections are fair and accurate, only 43% of respondents said that they strongly trust the election system. Only 43%. Less than half. Tell me how that can be. How can we exist when more than half of America doesn't trust what's going on Election Day? I mean, that's where voter integrity is so vitally important. We've got to buy into this, or else we are going to be doomed politically. 43% of respondents said that they strongly trust the election system. A majority, 56%, expressed concerns about the system. 17% said they somewhat trusted, and 17.9%, almost 18%, say they somewhat distrusted. Tyler O'Neill will join us, not the big league outfielder with the St. Louis Cardinals, but no, he is the heritage expert Tyler O'Neill that we're talking about. We'll get to that and more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Bringing jobs into our valley. Union Strong means opportunities for personal growth. Union Strong is fellowship, taking care of one another on and off the job site. Our union has been working hard for the interests of working men and women for decades and will always be there for the communities we serve. Laborers Union Local 872, celebrating 85 LIUNA proud years of justice, honor, and strength.
You know what we care about the most here at Jeep Only? We care about our customers. We want our customers to have the best experience of their lives. 2022 Jeep Grand Cherokees for $499. I mean, that's crazy, right? $499 a month? And we have so many used cars, forget about it. So when you go to Jeep Only at 5255 West Sahara Avenue, you know what you're going to say? Hey, Timur sent me. I want my deal. I want my deal right now. Who sent you? Timur sent me. All right, perfect. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kent Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. President Biden has signed a bill that averts a nationwide railroad strike. White House correspondent Greg Clungston reports.
The bill binds rail unions and companies to the brokered contract agreement that was reached in September, and the president said congressional intervention was necessary.
Rail shutdown would have devastated our economy.
Mr. Biden acknowledged it was a tough vote for many lawmakers, especially since the rail contract lacks paid sick leave.
But that fight isn't over.
He said he remains committed to securing paid sick leave for rail workers and all Americans. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The nation's employers kept hiring briskly in November despite high inflation and a slow-growing economy, a sign of resilience in the face of the Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hikes. Bankrate.com senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick says there's good news and bad news when it comes to wage growth.
Our average hourly earnings are up 5.1% over the past year. The Federal Reserve looks at that and believes that it has more work to do with respect to interest rate increases. And, of course, we have a Federal Reserve meeting looming in the middle part of the month, and there is the expectation we will have another rate increase then.
America's labor market has defied skeptics, adding hundreds of thousands of jobs month after month. With not enough people available to fill jobs, businesses are having to offer higher pay to attract and keep workers. Democrats have voted to remove Iowa as the leadoff state on the presidential nominating calendar and replace it with South Carolina starting in 2024. President Biden argues that the dramatic shakeup which he endorsed will better reflect what he called the party's deeply diverse electorate. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 34 points. The Nasdaq, however, dropped 28. The S&P 500 lower by 4. Oil dropped $1.44 to $78.89 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You've got advanced prostate cancer, but you're not waiting around. You want your straight talk. The facts about Orgovyx.
Orgovyx Relugolix, 120 milligram prescription tablets, is a treatment for adults with advanced prostate cancer. Fact, Orgovyx is a different kind of androgen deprivation therapy treatment, a pill, not an injection. Orgovyx may cause serious side effects, including a heart condition called QT prolongation. Tell your doctor right away if you feel dizzy, faint, have a racing or pounding heart, or chest pain. Orgovyx can cause harm to an unborn baby or miscarriage. Use birth control during treatment and for 2 weeks after Orgovyx treatment. The most common side effects include hot flushes, increased blood sugar and blood fat levels, muscle and joint pain, decreased blood hemoglobin levels, increased liver enzymes, tiredness, constipation, and diarrhea. Other side effects include weight gain, decreased sex drive, and erectile function problems. Orgovyx may cause infertility. Talk to your doctor if infertility is a concern for you.
Go with Orgovyx. Ask your doctor. For more facts, visit gowiththefacts.com.
I'll bet you're a lot like me. See if this sounds familiar. Have you had trouble hearing in crowded places like at holiday parties or Christmas celebrations? Has this hearing loss caused you to drop out of conversations? For years, I struggled to hear conversations with friends sitting next to me. Not across a crowded room, but sitting right next to me. It became embarrassing. So I asked Steve Romeo at Quality Hearing Aids to test my hearing, and the results told me what I already knew. Not only did I have hearing loss, but there were words I could hear but not understand. Steve fitted me with new state-of-the-art hearing aids, and the difference has been incredible. And now, with the addition of Dr. Matthew Lingman, the folks at Quality Hearing Aids are taking audiology to a whole new level. If hearing loss is causing you to miss out on conversations, do what I did. Call Quality Hearing Aids at 702-369-1321. That number again, 702-369-1321. Or check them out at QHALV.com. That's QHALV.com. And tell them Kevin Wall sent you.
It's 204. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. October was a very busy month at Las Vegas' airport. 5.2 million travelers made their way through the airport, That's the first time the numbers have ever topped 5 million in a month. Airport officials say the record number includes an increase in locals flying more frequently, which creates a new problem, a lack of airport parking. Airport officials say they're working on a plan to add more parking next year. October's record passenger count was nearly 24% better than the same time last year and boosted a 10-month total to 43.7 million, within reach of the airport's 2017 record of 51.5 million for the year. Miranda Lambert is hooking up her little red wagon to Las Vegas through the end of next year. The country superstar has added 16 more shows to her residency at Planet Hollywood's Zappos Theater. Her Velvet Rodeo show, which will run through July, November, and December of next year. Tickets for those new dates go on sale next Friday at Ticketmaster.com. The Pac-12 championship game will begin tonight at Allegiant Stadium as number 11 Utah takes on number 4 USC beginning at 6 p.m.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Yeah, we're seeing a little bit of congestion as you try to work your way through the resort corridor of Interstate 15, especially on the south side of Interstate 15. Remember, those lanes are reduced between Flamingo and the 215 freeway on Interstate 15 South.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
We're still asking the question of why it is that in states like Nevada, right here where we live, Arizona, the People's Republic of California, we have delayed election results. Because a lot of people, believe it or not, don't trust them. And in fact, there is new polling that's out. When asked how much do you trust that America's elections are fair and accurate, only 43% of respondents said they strongly trust the election system. What is going on there? A guy that knows, because he's the managing editor of the Daily Signal, the Heritage Foundation's news outlet, Tyler O'Neill, not the baseball player for the St. Louis Cardinals, but Heritage Foundation's Tyler O'Neill. Tyler, how you doing, sir?
Hi, doing well, Kevin. How are you?
I am fine. I was troubled by these numbers. It looks like the American people don't buy into the integrity of the elections, in particular the ones that are late. We've experienced it here in Nevada big time because it's part it's been codified, and that's why we have elections that go 10 days beyond election day. Tell me about some of this polling that you folks have done and what you found out about what America thinks about it.
Yeah, well, the Convention of States Action and Trafalgar Group Commission, or Convention of States Commissioned and Trafalgar Group carried out this poll. This is a very revealing poll, I think, because what we see is a large increase. Not only is there high amount of distrust for America's election system in general, but there's even higher distrust for any delayed results. And what we're seeing is that majorities of not just Republicans, but also independents, and even a fair number of Democrats are distrusting election results that take a week, days or weeks to tabulate. And there are a lot of good reasons to distrust results that take a while. I mean, it's fascinating to me because I grew up, you know, I remember the 2000 election and the hanging chads and the long debates in Florida that eventually had to be settled by the Supreme Court. And yet, consistently, Florida is one of the first states to report its results on election night because they worked really hard to clean up their election system after that 2000 election. And they became notorious for a bad election result, and then they turned everything around. I mean, that was under Jeb Bush, but now, you know, under Ron DeSantis, they have one of the strongest election reporting systems and one of the most reliable. But as you've noted, you know, in Nevada and Arizona this year, we had these extremely long delays, and we didn't even know that the Republicans had won the House of Representatives, the majority in the House, until quite recently. So if you look, Mark Meckler, who's the president of Convention of States Action, addressed a lot of these reasons why there's a lot of skepticism. There's long early voting, mail voting, drop boxes, electronic voting machines. I think one of the other, and many of these practices not only extend the amount of time that it takes to count ballots, but they also leave a lot of room for fraud and abuse. And the Heritage Foundation's election fraud tracker has found 1,396 proven instances of voter fraud. And these are not speculations. These are where people have been convicted or, you know, very clear there's been a new election ordered because of voter fraud. It is a real issue in the United States. And we have to focus on election integrity reforms like we saw, frankly, in Georgia and like we saw down in Florida.
Again, Tyler O'Neill joining us, managing editor for the Daily Signal. Before we go too far down the road, what is the Daily Signal? I know what it is, but explain to our listeners what the Daily Signal is. I love it.
Yeah, the Daily Signal is the Heritage Foundation's multimedia news outlet. So we cover the issues that matter most to conservatives. We like to, you know, the Heritage Foundation is America's outpost in Washington, D.C., a place that I like to somewhat unaffectionately refer to as Mordor. But we're out there looking for conservative, you know, advocating for conservatives, reporting on the corruption in Washington, D.C. And I also have a book out myself called Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center, a particularly notorious left-wing activist group that demonizes mainstream conservative and Christian groups by placing them on a map with chapters of the Ku Klux Klan.
Tyler, one of the things the Dems wanted to do is they wanted to nationalize our elections. That's what I think it was H.R. 1 was supposed to do. Can you talk a little bit about indeed that effort and indeed, why did it go nowhere? And I don't think it didn't go anywhere, did it?
Well, yes. Thank God the Senate is 50-50 and doesn't give a lot of room for Democrats to get their radical agenda all the way through. Unfortunately, they have gotten quite a few things, including a misnamed Inflation Reduction Act and an infrastructure bill that doesn't focus mostly on infrastructure. But luckily, H.R. 1, which they prioritized and which would federalize elections and really kind of open the doors for one of the scariest things we saw in 2020, which is when the Center for Tech and Civic Life funneled money into Democrat and left-leaning districts in order to enable them to report and to gin up voter turnout in those districts and not in, you know, right-leaning, more Republican districts. So, and what H.R. 1 would have done was to make sure that kind of thing would be allowed to continue, and it would have federalized a lot of these practices that are leading to delayed election results, such as longer early voting, more voting by mail, all these practices that, you know, it's very funny because in 2020 also, big tech, you know, Twitter especially, decided to censor or at least curtail a lot of the claims that President Trump was making. You know, worries about voting by mail go back decades. And a former, you know, former Democratic president, Jimmy Carter, worked on a report about the weaknesses of vote by mail and how it opens up our system to fraud. And yet Democrats are continuing to push it. And I mean, in this poll, you see a large number of, you know, majority of Democrats saying they'd be more willing to trust election results that take days or weeks to tabulate. And that's pretty shocking. But I think the reason they prefer those is because those late election results have tended to favor Democrats in recent years.
You talked about, what was it, 1,396 instances of voter fraud. Has anything happened? Has anybody gone to jail? Has anybody been fined by, you know, the Federal Election Commission or something like that?
Yes. Yeah. So each of these cases are proven instances of voter fraud. We have 1,396 of them, and then there are 1,191 criminal convictions with 48 civil penalties. And there are 25 judicial findings, 17 official findings. It's all available on heritage.org, our voter fraud database. But yes, a lot of people have, you know, gone to jail or faced stiff penalties for voter fraud. It's just one of the it's very interesting how much of the legacy media tends to say, oh, America's election system is fine. Don't have any questions about it, except when a Republican wins, like happened in Georgia in 2018, or happened nationwide, I think, sometime not too long ago in 2016 or something. And, you know, Stacey Abrams was out there saying that she should be the correct governor of Georgia. And Hillary Clinton, after she rightly, you know, conceded the election to Trump, later started saying that the election was illegitimate. I think it's quite notable how the left likes to have their cake and eat it too. When Biden wins the presidency, they're like, oh, this is the most secure election in U.S. history. And when Trump wins the presidency, it's, oh, wait, Russia, Russia, Russia. And
illegitimate.
In reality, the truth is more complicated.
Well,
yes, exactly.
Exactly. And these so-called election deniers, it turns out that from the polling, there are Democrats that honestly believe that there is a problem with voter integrity. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah. And actually, election integrity is one of those issues that tends to poll very well, especially because when you really think about what the Democrats oppose. They're opposing voter ID, which are systems that make sure that when a voter shows up at the polls, that person is who they say they are so that they can't vote fraudulently. Most Americans support voter ID across political dimensions and across racial dimensions. And it's very interesting that Democrats continue to push this narrative that somehow voter ID will disenfranchise black voters, as if black people had trouble getting driver's licenses and forms of identification that you need to, I don't know, drive a car, buy alcohol at the store. Like, this is a very common thing. And the notion that a certain segment of the population singled out by race, by the Democrats, are, you know, supposedly unable to obtain legal forms of identification is, quite frankly, insulting.
Do you see anything coming, and I know it will have to be state by state by state, but that will improve this voter confidence that these elections are free and fair?
Yes. Yeah. So many states are reforming their election systems along the lines that will increase not just reliability, but also speed, as I noted in Florida and Georgia. But unfortunately, you know, this is a partisan issue now because a lot of Democrats are continuing to push these, you know, and it raises, quite frankly, a large alarm that Democrats are not willing to endorse these basic voter reform, election reform measures, because what, you know, what's their reasoning there? They wouldn't say that it's because the fraud or the, you know, the weakened election integrity makes it more likely for them to win elections. But that's what their suggest, that's what their actions suggest. We have to continue to voice our opposition to these things. Conservatives across the country have to stand up, and, you know, the Heritage Foundation has model legislation for election integrity. I know that Heritage Action is working in the states to support this issue. But, you know, we have a large network of sentinels who are working in the states and raising their voices. And I'd really like to thank them for making their voices heard on these issues. But yeah, it's an ongoing battle. And unfortunately, you know, in many states, we have great legislation, but it's going to require a state by state effort for reform, or, you know, and I don't want necessarily a federal system put down from Washington, D.C., because I think Americans won't trust it as much.
Yeah, we got problems with that already. We don't need to make it even worse. Tyler, in our final minute, give your book another plug, because it sounds interesting.
Yeah. So I wrote Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And in my book, I explain how a public interest nonprofit that was founded to help poor people in the South became a weapon of the political left to demonize conservative and Christian organizations with which they disagree. And so, you know, the founder, Morris Dees, discovered that, you know, suing white supremacist groups like the KKK, these organizations were largely defunct by the time he started suing them, but raising money off of suing them made him huge dividends. And the SPLC continued to push that. And, you know, naturally, it's a good thing for society when those white supremacist groups were bankrupted. But the SPLC continued that strategy and started expanding ever broader their definition of hate group and who they included in that. And first it was the KKK, then it was skinheads. Eventually it became the Family Research Council and Alliance Defending Freedom, which is, you know, I don't know if you're familiar, but they're a Christian legal nonprofit that has won multiple cases of the Supreme Court in recent years. Most notably the Jack Phillips case, Masterpiece Cake Shop. So this is a very mainstream organization, very influential, and yet the SPLC calls it a hate group and puts it on a map with KKK chapters. And actually a man this man's been convicted of terrorism, decided to attack the Family Research Council, came with a semi-automatic pistol and a bag of Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. And he told the FBI his goal was to shoot everyone in the Family Research Council and smear a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich in the faces of his victims.
Wow.
And the SPLC naturally, you know, he used the SPLC's hate map to find Family Research Council. And the SPLC condemned the attack, but they've continued to keep Family Research Council on the map for more than 10 years after that attack.
If folks want to find out more about the book, if they want to buy the book, where do they go? Amazon or what?
Yes, you can find it on Amazon.com. I also have MakingHatePay.com. But yeah, if you just Google Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center, it's the first result. So.
And very quickly, in our final 15 seconds, how can they find the Daily Signal?
Yeah, you go to dailysignal.com and heritage.org. You can find the Daily Signal on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and even on TikTok.
Tyler, thank you so much. I appreciate your time today. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
Great. Thanks.
Tyler O'Neill, managing editor for the Daily Signal, the Heritage Foundation's news outlet, and they're really good stuff. If you like news about conservative issues, this is a place to go. It's called the Daily Signal. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6, on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio, done right. The showroom at South Point.